Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
In this episode, we're going to discuss how to make more sales without feeling salesy, specifically by understanding why people buy and why they say yes. I'm excited to introduce you today to Connor Clark from Sales Hub. He's going to talk to us a little bit about doing that high ticket selling that seems to be so challenging for us. So welcome to the show, Connor. It's lovely to have you.
Oh, lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
So Connor, I've got this magic question. First of all, what led you down the path to becoming a...
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances
so your business can actually support your life. Unbelievably blessed.
You can learn more and save your seat at
lessmathmoremoney.com.
Look forward to seeing you there.
I started there in a very entry-level sales position and was completely blessed to just continue to be given opportunities to continue to step up within that business. And ultimately, a couple of years ago, stepped into the role of head sales coach for over 4,000 members of that community, and also head of sales internally for the business. So had a wealth of experience at managing coaching businesses, have taken over 2,500 calls, managed a team responsible for over $20 million in coaching revenue, and coached a lot of coaches. And it just got to the point where in order to step into the next phase and experience the growth and continue to grow, I need to start my own thing. So that's how I got here.
Congratulations on starting your own thing. It's always fun and exciting and scary as hell. Is that what you work now?
Yeah, definitely. I'm feeling all the feelings.
I was part of that group. And Connor, you're an awesome coach.
The
advice you gave people, they would just walk away saying, wow, this is really effective and really exciting.
No, I appreciate that. And it's been exciting to do that with people on an even deeper level. Thank you.
And so right now you're coaching one-on-one or do you have group coaching?
No, it's a group coaching program. It culminates, that's not a word. It includes everything an online coach, consultant could need to make more sales of their coaching program or their high ticket offer. So the coaching, the community, the curriculum, ultimately the software, I've got big plans there. So just everything that this kind of industry and these types of people need in order to actually unlock more sales in their business. And I think the most important thing is allow them to actually impact more people.
I love that. Biggest thing is most people we know, especially almost like Jeannie, they hate the word sales.
Yeah.
And they shy away from it. They feel like they're terrible at it and they just get icky feelings about it. We should start there.
Yeah, that's totally normal for a coach, right? Like you, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeannie, you didn't get into this because you wanted to take money from people.
Like, no.
You got into this space because I've spoken to, like I mentioned, 2,000 online coaches, maybe even more at this point through coaching. But you're all like the drive and the goal is impact. There is a monetary aspect to it of wanting to make more income. There's definitely across the board a freedom aspect of time freedom, location freedom, financial freedom, etc. But whenever you ask someone their goals, when you ask a coach their goals, the first response typically is not their own goals, it's their goals for their clients, which is very interesting. You all want to impact people, like you want to help people. You don't want to sell them. Sales has this negative connotation of not actually serving people. When in fact, when you can embrace the fact that the only way that you get to serve people is by selling them, and you can figure out the correct way to sell people that isn't super disgusting and icky and sleazy, you can unlock the ability to impact people that never would have been able to be helped by.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think of it like this sometimes. If we're so afraid of sales and we're so afraid to have the conversation and convert those conversations into paid clients, then someone else is. And
yeah,
there's a lot of clients out there that have, or a lot of coaches out there that are, or people in general, not just coaches in every industry, that maybe are not as knowledgeable as you are. They're not as ethical or as honest as you are.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I used to talk a lot like this with my loan officers that, like, again, you have to get good at having those harder conversations Because if you don't, someone else will. And those people may not be the most honest, ethical people. They may not be the most knowledgeable people. And that's frustrating when you see someone else getting business that you know doesn't deliver the way you do. They don't do nearly as good a job. They don't care about the clients the way you do, but they mastered sales. And I think that should make a lot of people angry enough to want to do a good job at learning how to sell.
I think it should make them excited as well, because the opportunity's never been bigger. The competition has never been lower. To stand out, all you need to do is just be an ethical person.
Low bar, just be ethical and honest. And
yeah, it is. It's an incredibly low bar. And the barrier to entry to get into coaching and to get into this space is so low that the standards and skill sets for most people are so low. Anyone can slap up a website and call themselves a coach. It should be an exciting opportunity for anyone listening to this that struggles with sales or wants to make more sales, because the opportunity has never been bigger, because your competition has never been lower.
Isn't that crazy? I love that.
So one of the things you have on your little synopsis that we talked about was, when you lead with value, clarity, and honesty, you close rate jumps. Let's talk a little bit about, how can people feel like they're leading with value, clarity, and honesty?
So I think when it comes to sales, are we talking about the sales equation at this point? Okay, perfect. I think when it comes to sales, like it all boils down to value, trust, accountability, and belief. And having spoken to thousands of coaches and reviewed literally thousands of sales calls across every single niche you could humanly imagine, it's always these four kind of commonalities that are exactly why people do enroll or don't enroll. And it's these four kind of traits that significantly increase the odds that people will purchase. And it became so clear over years that I actually created like an equation around this. So like the odds that you get a sale. So sales equals value times trust times accountability to the power of belief. Value is the difference between where people are and where they want to be. The further you can extend that gap between where they are and where they want to be is the value that you provide in your service. If you have a small gap, not much value. If you can help people in an astronomical, significant way, going from zero to $1 a month, not very valuable. Zero to $1 million a month, significantly more valuable. The more value you create, the more likely they are to want to purchase your program. Trust. People don't trust you, they're not going to purchase. And I think ultimately, especially in the coaching industry, people are often pitching things that are just super untrustworthy. They don't have the resume to actually be selling what they sell, so people don't trust them. They are super confused with what they sell. Confusion is not trustworthy. So I think there's a significant lack of trust for many people. I also think that I think this is where sales gets a really negative connotation. People don't hold people accountable in the right way because they just don't know how to. Like when you get to the end of a sales call, there's this fabulous moment when you tell them the price. What happens if they say no? 99.9% of people try to like push them into a decision and force them to make a decision. And we don't like that. As humans, we're really good at knowing when someone is forcing us to make a decision that's in their best interest, not our best interests. If you can hold people accountable in the right way, people make their own decisions and you have much better clients. You have a much better business. Everything scales a lot better. And the other side to that coin is that people aren't holding people accountable at all.
Can you explain that? Like, how in a sales call would you hold someone accountable without pushing them after a no? Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, the first thing is you clarify. So you clarify your goal. The goal is, I'm just here to help you make a decision. I'm not here to sell you. It's cool if you don't. If you say no, it's all good. My goal is just to serve you and help you make a decision. And if people can genuinely believe that you're just there to help them, you're already 90% of the way there. So that's step 1A. 1B, you want people to, you really want to clarify, like, is there anything else going on for this person? Like any other objections? You want to actually make sure and clarify that their desire is to do this. So what are their intentions here? And then you just want to understand what's going on for them. So you just ask questions to understand why there is this pause. Because people purchase across the board in every industry emotionally, but they justify those decisions logically. Objections pop up, or questions or limiting beliefs or roadblocks pop up when people haven't quite been able to like logically justify the decision. So being able to help them overcome objections really just comes from a belief. And I think beliefs really is the amplifier here. That's why it's to the power of in the equation. It comes down to transmitting the belief that you're just here to serve the person. And when people feel like someone is here helping them in their best interest, they're significantly more likely to want to purchase your program. A lot of calls end in disaster because people are putting people off the wrong way. And it's why I don't know if you've ever been on a sales call, the person seemed fabulous and then they never turned up to the follow-up call.
Right.
Probably because you left them with a really icky feeling at the end of the call. Why do you not like sales, Jeannie, potentially? Because you get to the end and it feels icky. It doesn't feel nice. It feels like you're trying to force people to make a decision that they may not necessarily want to. If you flip that and be okay with them not joining and just serve them and help them make a decision, even if it's not to join, hard to step across the line.
Yeah, I totally like that because for me, if you told me there was somebody over there that I had to impress, I would be a nightmare. If you tell me there's somebody over there that wants to talk to me, I'll be all about chatting with them and getting to know them and ask them everything under the sun.
That's all sales
about
is.
Who they are. Yeah.
Sales is just a conversation.
Yeah.
People put this pressure on it that it has to be this thing that ends in them giving you money. It doesn't have to be. Like, I haven't got money from every person that I've ever spoken to.
It's funny. One of the examples that I like to use is when I had my mortgage company, we would have clients that would come in and their credit wasn't where it needed to be, or they needed to save more money. And so rather than just saying, oh, get your stuff together and come back, we created a process to really support them and help them get their credit score up and help them to hit their savings goals and just give them the support that they needed. One thing that blew my mind about that was the fact that I would get referrals from them, like their parents or their friends, who would come in and get a mortgage from me. So they were taking that referral from someone I had not done a loan for.
Yeah.
So I never sold him anything or sold her anything other than I was just helping and supporting them to get to their goal, which was to buy a house. But even though I had not done a transaction with them, they were telling their friends and family about us and that we were helping them and we would get business from that. So that was kind of an aha moment that you don't necessarily have to close someone or sell them something for them to be a raving fan.
For sure.
And part of the logic was like, these people don't even have their act together. They don't have their credit. They've got bad credit or whatever that looks like. But yet these people who have $500,000 houses are refinancing with us or they're buying their second homes with us. So even though you would think that they don't have credibility in the sense that financially where they should be, but the fact that we were helping them was the credibility. The fact that we were doing something, we were serving them, that made us more credible. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You're just depositing goodwill into the marketplace.
What I like to think we lead with is if you think about truly serving people, that's the main goal. And again, I love how you say it. At the end of the goal, it's like, what's best for you? And I'm sure you've had lots of times when people, it's a no right now, but they come back later and they buy from you or they refer you.
Yeah, years later.
Yeah. Because we never know what someone's going through.
Yeah, totally. And when you flip the goal from the goal is to to make a sale and you flip the goal to just, I'm here to serve.
Yeah.
You have a very different feeling towards sales calls and you also have a very different reward feedback because you may not make a sale for a few days, but if you've had a lot of wonderful conversations where people left better than they were, a caveat to that, don't coach them on the call, don't solve their problems. But as long as they feel served on the call, like it just changes the goal of what you're going into it and how you are rewarded from that experience.
Okay, now that part about don't coach them, don't solve their problem, that's going to be a harder for a lot of us, isn't it?
Oh, it's the biggest across the board in sales, yes, but like specifically for coaches, that's my bread and butter, who I like to help. The biggest challenge they have is just not solving people's problems on the call. They blur the lines between this being a sales call and a coaching call. And the problem is, I love to talk about this, the problem is that's probably the biggest disservice you can do to your potential clients. Because if they get onto a call with you and an hour later, you've coached them for the entire time and they feel like their problems are solved, their challenges are overcome, they're never going to give you money. And no one's lives have been changed through an hour pleasant conversation. Like, I know you guys are lovely. I'm enjoying this conversation, but like an hour later, my life isn't going to be changed.
Right.
That they have to be sold. Like they have to join whatever your program is so they can actually receive the training.
So how would you coach somebody into not doing that? Because you're right. It's so easy to just fall into, let me tell you what you could do in that situation. I feel like, would it be more like asking them more questions?
Yes.
To get them to figure out.
The second you find yourself talking too much, ask a question. So the sales call is really broken up into three parts: the discovery, the pitch, and the close. The discovery is the beginning of the call. What are we doing? We're discovering. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Like, we need to learn about the person. We need to learn that they're a good fit for what we do. We need to learn about their situation, current and desired. We need to learn that we can help this person. We need to create more value. The only way you do that is by asking questions. This is where people coach, because they're asking a few questions. They hear a challenge they can solve. They solve it. And then they ask another question. They hear another challenge. They solve it. And then you get to the end of the call and the person that they've been talking to is, I'm fixed. Why would I give you money?
Oh my
See,
God.
but I would think people would think if I can help you solve a problem, then you might think better of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would want to work with me because you can see that I'm a giver.
Totally. But if I solve all your problems and you leave at the end in the moment where you're making a decision whether or not you want to get further help and I feel like I'm better. Oh, I now have a plan. I know what to go do on my own. Why would I give you thousands of dollars to do this when I feel like you've just given me everything I need to go do this? So like, I get the argument, the psychology behind it just doesn't work.
Well, and also, like you said, in an hour, yes, you can paint a big picture for them, or you can give them tips or solutions for small things. But most of us, especially like you talk about high ticket, you're selling something that's more expensive that has multiple steps.
Yeah.
And that's something you can't solve that in an hour.
No, not in the slightest. You can give them a good feeling.
Right.
They can perceive that they're better. They'll go away a few weeks later. Life will get busy. They'll have had a few fights with their kids. They'll have changed nothing. And then they'll be back looking for a solution and they may come back to you or they might just go away and try, continue to struggle. Like the moment might have been missed.
So what do you say to people who get to that point and say how much their program costs or their whatever costs that they're trying to sell? And then the argument is, it's too expensive. I know, I would think as a salesperson, you would say you should have given them enough value or enough information that wouldn't be an issue. But what if it is?
Yeah, it comes up all the time. Financial reasons. One, that's not even a financial objection. That's more of an uncertainty-based objection around it being more money than I expected, or it's a lot of money. The thing that I would say is that it doesn't mean they don't have the money. That's not even a true financial objection. You've thrown me a curveball, Jeannie, which I appreciate. The first thing I'd say is that to overcome that really comes down to the discovery first and foremost, because it's a lot of money or it's more money than I expected is really just a lack of value. So what's the advice? 99 times out of 100, go deeper in the discovery, create more value, really ask questions to uncover the emotions behind what are going on here, the beliefs, the root belief, like really get to the crux of what's going on for this person. So create value. If you do that 99 times out of 100, you probably won't get that objection. If you do, it won't be that elaborate. If you do, you just go through a process. Like, my goal is just to help you. Like, aside from it being more than you expected, would you like to do this? Yes, perfect. Is there anything else coming up for you? No, perfect. What did you expect it to be? It's a $5,000 program. I expected it to be $3,000. Awesome. Now all we're doing is overcoming a $2,000 objection instead of a $5,000 objection. A lot easier. If it was $3,000, would you be getting started? Yeah, definitely. Okay, perfect. We can just ask questions to uncover things and learn what the difference is. And then we can create some sort of logical solution or logical reframe. The most probably common and easy one is just a payment plan. Okay, we can't do the whole thing right now. Let's spread it out over a couple of months and therefore we've solved the problem.
Love that. All right, out of curiosity, do you, at the end of a sales call, do you take their credit card information right there?
Yes. If they've made the
decision. This is one I struggle with, probably because of my background with compliance and issues, security.
Yeah, totally.
Is the fact that we all have devices that are listening, and now you're all of a sudden taking someone's credit card information where it's being recorded. Alexa's in the other room, your phone's right here. Mm. Do you ever have concerns about security in that?
I personally, what I do with my program is I will make them make a decision. Not make them, that's a horrible thing to say. They make the decision to move forward on their own on the call. My job now is to secure the investment because they have made the decision. If we wait, very good chance that something will happen in their life. This will no longer be a priority. They will delay, et cetera. We've all sent out links to people and the person hasn't joined. And it's a horrible feeling. We learn that lesson once and then we move on. Personally, what I've chosen to do with my business is I'm on the call with someone. I send them the page to process the investment on their own. They take care of it on their side. I don't know any of the information, don't want to know, but they make the decision. And I just sit there in the background and let them know that I'm here if anything goes wrong, if they have any questions. And then once it's processed, I'm going to set them up and make sure they know how to be successful here. So the call doesn't end the moment that they pay. The call ends like 5-10 minutes after that moment, because after that moment I need to set all of the expectations for them moving forward on how to be an incredible client, how to get incredible results. I need to set the expectations of what's going to happen next, because I want to limit refunds, and frankly I also want to ask for referrals, because that's a fabulous moment to ask for referrals.
Yeah, they're happiest when they've just paid. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
The best time to ask for a referral is after a significant win or after a significant moment of excitement. Like when you've potentially been thinking about getting help for this challenge that you've been facing and it's been dominating your mind for maybe years, that's a pretty exciting moment. And they more than likely know other people that would love to have this feeling that they're having right now. So that's a significant missed opportunity.
That's what you saw say. The moment you ask for referrals in the mortgage business is when they've signed the contract and the application's been turned in and they're on a high. Yep. Not after all the processing challenges they go through. And
But I would say be compliant though. There's a lot of uncompliance in this industry. Make sure that you know what you need to do, how to be compliant, etc. But when people make the decisions, let them make the decision. You will lose a lot of sales if you don't capture the investment when they've made the decision. I have lost a lot of sales.
Me too. We've done that. Yes, for sure. Yes.
So tell me this. I've heard different stories about the logic behind it, but do you offer people 100% guarantee or any kind of guarantee?
There's three types of guarantees. There's a conditional guarantee, an unconditional guarantee, and then no guarantee. So an anti-guarantee is how I've termed it for myself. Conditional guarantee is that people get a guarantee as long as certain conditions are met. So they turn up to trainings, they do X, Y, Z, whatever that looks like for them. Unconditional is that they just don't have to do anything and you're just promised to give them a guarantee for no reason. Not my favorite. The anti-guarantee is essentially that you guarantee that there are no guarantees. So my personal preferred one and what I would advise most coaching businesses is to go with an anti-guarantee. Reason being, I think it's the most ethical and authentic guarantee that there is. I think it's super powerful when you can say that common sense dictates that there is no guarantees in life whatsoever. But I guarantee that if you turn up and do the work and ask questions and don't quit when it gets hard, that you'll more than likely progress towards your goals. Not even promising that you'll hit your goals, that you'll make progress towards your goals, as long as you do the things that, let's be real, you have to do. If you do those things in anything in life, odds are that you'll be successful. So I love that guarantee. That's the one that I prefer. I understand a conditional guarantee. I just know that it also adds complexity to a business. And I think oftentimes when it comes to that guarantee, people are ridiculous with them. You must turn up to 100% of calls.
Right. Yeah.
Life, you get busy.
Right. Exactly.
How do you enforce that? How do you capture that information? Are you like taking attendance on every single call? So I think conditional guarantees work. I'm not a huge fan of unconditional guarantees. I think they pressure people to make decisions in an extrinsic way. So they're pressuring people to make a decision because they're scared of missing out of some guarantee, and it removes all of the responsibility of the client to actually do work. And it puts all of the risk on the business. And I think specifically in a coaching environment, I don't think that's the best way to begin, because I think everyone needs to be bought in to actually be successful. If you were to join, say, Sales Hub, and I was like, look, you can have your money back. No problem. No issues whatsoever. I don't think that's setting you guys up for success, because I think it's beginning the relationship, giving you a very easy out.
Yeah. And anything we want to learn is to build our confidence and build our bank account it takes hard work.
Totally.
If it were easy, it's not an easy button, right? Push that button. So no. I agree with that. Getting that easy out is like, why bother taking a sales call at all? Why bother investing in it?
I think it's a great way to make sales. And I think people that are inexperienced lean on it because it's a very easy way to make sales. It's a very enticing offer. I'll give you your money. Just try it and I'll give you all your money back if it sucks. And I think a lot of the unethical people in this space, or the inexperienced, or people that are selling things that they're not genuine experts at, lean on that. And I think that's great for them. I think the people that are actually experts and the people that want a thriving program with clients that actually go on to be ridiculously successful should lean more on a conditional guarantee, or just have an anti-guarantee where they guarantee nothing.
Love that. So what do you feel is the right time amount for an average sales call?
An hour. I always leave an hour. I think that's enough time to cover everything. Transparently, if you have less calls, you can always schedule it for an hour. And if nothing's afterwards, you can keep talking. There's nothing wrong with it being longer. If we're breaking up a sales call, 30 minutes roughly would want to be discovery, 25 to 30 minutes of just learning about them, 5 to 10 minutes of pitching. And that leaves about 20 to 25 minutes for objections and for the close.
Yeah. I think when you say objections, people like freeze, right? Because that's one of the biggest challenges for people, is overcoming those objections.
If you go into a sales, here's another belief. Most calls have objections.
Right. Life has objections.
Like, I think one of the most interesting things that I've learned in this space watching coaches sell is that they're all shocked when an objection pops up. But like literally probably 90% of people will have some sort of objection. So why on earth would you be shocked when it comes up?
Right.
And I think when you're selling your own thing, and this has become more prevalent for me and more noticeable now that I sell my own thing, you get to the end and someone has an objection. How dare they? Don't they know how amazing this is? But I think if you can remove yourself emotionally from the fact that you are selling your baby, the thing that you've spent like maybe years building and expertise and years crafting and getting incredible clients' results, like if you can remove yourself unemotionally and just put yourself in their shoes, it becomes a lot more reasonable that they would have some sort of question or limiting belief or objection. But if you can flip the belief to be like, I expect this to happen, you handle it very differently.
It's just part of the process.
It is just part of the process. 90% of people are going to have something. If you can get very good at just helping them make a decision that's in their best interests for themselves, like objections become a lot of fun. Like at this point now, I get it. My first 600 to 800 calls, I didn't even know where to begin with an objection. What I learned though was that the better I got at the beginning of the call and the discovery, the more value I created and the more trustworthy my pitch became, the less objections that I have. And now I'm at the point where I've just taken so many calls and handled every single one that you could possibly imagine. Like I've had every objection. Very rarely does something surprise me at this point. But having done that, one, you know when the objection is coming up when you've done everything right throughout the call. So it's not really a surprise when they say that they don't have the money and you've typically already handled it. Most of my calls now are objectionless just because I've handled them all before I get to the end. Okay. When they do pop up, it's, oh, this is fun. Finally. It's like a game. And when you get into that moment where you're truly connected with someone that you know you can genuinely serve and is right on the edge of making a life-changing decision, the connectiveness that you feel with someone is incredible. It's like, it's such an amazing moment to share with someone when you help them make a huge decision. And then once they do, you get to see them years later and how their life has changed or their business has changed or their relationship has changed or just whatever your transformation is.
That is fantastic, Connor. This has been so amazing. You have given us so much value and so many good ideas and thoughts and different ways to turn something around that maybe you are scared of or that you don't that you don't want to happen. We are so grateful that you are here today, Connor. So tell us a little bit about, I know there are people listening who are saying, I need to reach out to him. I need to find out more about what he does. What's the best way for them to do that?
Go to joinsaleshub.com and just fill out an application and schedule a call. Worst case scenario, we have a lovely chat. You get to see a sales call being modeled in person. Worst case scenario, I cancel the application because I can't help.
That's perfect. Nothing to deal with. Stay healthy, my friends. Stay healthy.
That's right. Stay healthy. Connor Clark, this has been amazing. And we will put all your details in the show notes below so that people can go right there and fill out the application and have a chat with you. So awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.